what I'm able to do for myself when I can feel my confidence waning is, number one, when I notice that is happening, I know typically it's because I'm looking outside of myself.
Welcome to The Confident Healer. I'm your host, Sharmila Mali. And in this podcast, we have inspirational, uplifting, and soulful conversations about the ins and outs of having confidence as a healer and as a healer in business. This was such a lively chat with a lively and lovely person. This episode was filled with so many profound paradigm shifts. At one point, my mind was blown with her take on the well-used aphorism, "Feel the fear and do it anyway." You will probably be able to relate to her when she talks about her old soul-sucking job, a place filled with toxicity and faking it till you make it. But what happens when you look put together on the outside, but on the inside you feel anxious and unworthy? Well, you follow your intuition and honor the person you were meant to be. And her intuition led her to helping people find their voice and be in alignment with their business using a tool called Human Design. Find out what Human Design is and how she handles confidence and fear as a healerpreneur. Please meet this week's guest, Kendra Woods, on The Confident Healer. Welcome to The Confident Healer. I'm your host, Sharmila Mali, and this is season one, episode 11. And today's guest is the author of two books, The 7-Step Morning Manifestation Guide and Mind Boss Habits, 12 Steps to Getting Out of Your Head and Into Action. And she's also a contributing author to the Amazon best-selling book, Girl, Get Up and Win. She is the founder of Kendra Woods International LLC and Soulful Success by Design, where she guides female heart-centered coaches, leaders, healers, and service providers towards authentic alignment in business and life through human design. She loves guiding women towards their truth so that they can feel good in business and life. She works with women who are ambitious, driven, determined, multi-passionate, and ready to take their business and life to the next level. Through her passionate work, she's able to help women achieve a new reality for themselves through human design coaching, online programs, and private coaching experiences. She holds a bachelor's and a master's degree in business administration, and she has worked in the corporate world for over 10 years, and she combines her practical business knowledge with intuitive-based wisdom to guide her clients. So please welcome to the Confident Healer podcast with a big warm hug, Kendra Woods. Welcome.
Hey. Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here and just can't wait to dig in and have some conversation.
Yeah, me too. Thank you so much for taking the time out. So I just want to ask you, so we're in December of 2020 that we're recording this. What are some lessons that this year has taught you?
Oh my gosh. I'm laughing because there are so many lessons. But I think the biggest lesson for me that this year has taught me is it's taught me the importance of surrender and to really focus on the things that I can control. So this year, there's been a lot happening in the world, as we know. And so for me, it's been about going inward. Right, going inward and focusing on my internal environment, my internal mindset, so that way when I show up in the world, I'm not being thrown around like some weeds in the wind. So it's just control. Like that's paying attention to what I can control and letting the rest go on
the way. Yeah. And what are things that you can control?
Well, for instance, controlling how I choose to see certain situations. So, of course we've had the pandemic this year. We've had other things, happening this year. We've had the election this year, like all these things that have been brought to the surface this year. And so with that, I get to choose how I desire to look at it. I get to choose whether to, how involved I want to be in it, a lot of my time online. And so one of the things that I knew I could control is what I chose to see in my social media feeds, what I chose to engage in. And that just helps me keep a peace of mind. Or if it's even choosing to not be online, to put it down and to just be in my little, space here, that I've created. And then also controlling my emotions. Right? 'Cause I'm not going to lie. I mean, I'm a very sensitive being. So even though it's like I'm here in this space, I definitely feel like the collective, you know, fear and, you know, sadness and all the things. So having certain things in place for myself so that I can process that and not get caught up in it, you know? So those are things I can control that are within me.
So it sounds like a lot of self-care goes into.
Yes. Lots of self-care. And yeah, I mean, I feel like this is one of those situations. I feel like this year is one of those years where you know, when you go on a plane and they're like, you got to put on your oxygen mask.
Right.
We hear that all the time.
Right.
But I feel like this is one of those years where that really applies. Like, you've got to put on your oxygen mask and take care of you and nurture yourself and do all that you can for you so that you can show up for your business, your family, your spouse, mm-hmm. so that you can show up for your life and come from a place of overflow instead of from this place of depletion.
Right. Yeah.
So important.
Right. So I was going to ask you how it's been, how your confidence has been through the pandemic. I mean, you've still put out all your Facebook live videos and whatnot. So it just seems like it hasn't wavered. Or what's going on the inside of Kendra?
You know, interestingly enough, I feel like, when this all happened, when the pandemic happened and everyone was on lockdown, you've got to, you know, work from home, do all these things. Honestly, I was kind of like, okay, well, I've been doing this for the past 3 years now. We've got this, right? So that aspect of it, I was fine. I was like, well, I'm just going to keep doing what I've been doing. Now, the piece that did bring a little bit of a challenge is having my daughter at home doing virtual school. You know, she's 9 and, it's just a challenge, you know, having all these kids taking virtual classes. Her school had to hire teachers. And so there was all this up and down. And so really trying to work out a routine that would allow me to still focus my energies on what I need to do in my business while also being present for her when she has questions about school. I mean, I'm going to tell you right now, we're just now getting to a place probably in the past couple of months where I'm like, okay, we got this routine. I'm not going to go crazy. So, yeah.
I think a lot of parents can relate to that. Definitely. You're not alone in that boat.
Yeah.
So, well, that's good. I mean, yeah, I've heard that. I have heard that from my friends and other people that I've interviewed about having kids who are at home too now. And everybody's got to be working and supervising. Exactly. So hats off, praise be. Oh my goodness. You pat yourself. I'm patting you on the back and give you a hug.
Thank you.
Congratulations. So from reading your bio that you had worked in the corporate world, what made you transition? What made you leave that behind? Mm-hmm.
And
do what you're doing now?
A couple of things. Number one, I think was getting to a really low place. I think that was probably the catalyst, is getting to a really, really low place. And I call it my dark place. And at the same time, also being forced. And so what I mean by that is, you know, I worked in corporate healthcare. So I was a healthcare executive, was, you know, doing the whole like 40, 50, 60 hour weeks, traveling sometimes when need be, managing different medical offices. And then, of course, being a mom, wife, all that good stuff. And it was just not where I was supposed to be. It was completely not where I'm supposed to be. I was not healthy. I was like 20 pounds heavier. I was suffering from anxiety attacks. I had autoimmune issues happening. I mean, it was like my body was talking to me so loud. But I just was like, no, we've got to keep going, right? Mm-hmm. I've got to keep going. This is what you do. Like, I went to college, got the degrees. All right, now I'm working in the field. I got my degree in. Like, this is what you do. But I knew I just wasn't happy with it. And so I had a major turning point back then when I suffered a huge panic attack right in front of my staff. Ooh. In front of my doctors. And I was like, oh my gosh. I mean, I was embarrassed. Mm-hmm. And so I went home and I couldn't get out of bed for 2 days. Literally could not get out of bed for 2 days. And it was in that moment where I was just thinking to myself, something has got to change. This isn't how my life is supposed to be. Like, life is not supposed to be like this. We don't just wake up, go to work, pay bills, and then die. Like, after that, I kind of started thinking about being my own boss. I've always wanted to be my own boss. I've always kind of had that thread within me that has wanted to do my own thing. I don't like people telling me what to do. I want to just be able to do me. And my energy shifted. And I think that my company that I worked for, they noticed it.
Mm.
And so they did for me what I was too afraid to do. Mm. I was afraid to walk away. And they kind of forced me to walk away. They were like, yeah, this is not going to work. And I knew it. Like, right. I absolutely knew that I manifested that moment. And the universe kind of came in and said, all right, well, here you go.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so that's when, literally 2 months before that happened, I had decided that I was going to launch my own business and I was going to be a motivational speaker and I was going to do my thing. And like 2 months to the day that I did that, I was let go.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So
after that, I was like, okay, well, this is my window of opportunity to figure out how to make this thing work. Of course, my business has taken so many iterations since then. But it's all part of the journey.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's interesting that you talked about being a motivational speaker. What got you into that? Is that something you've always had in the back of your, probably something that you probably were doing, you were helping others?
Yeah, it's funny. I think when I was in high school, I remember being in high school and we had to take a public speaking class. And I remember then I had that feeling of standing in front of the class and presenting, and it just lit me up.
Mm.
I mean, I was like, oh, this is so much fun. Back then I was just like, oh, this is fun, right? I didn't really put too much thought into it. But then a gift that this career gave to me when I was in healthcare was that they would have me do presentations for the board of directors. And so they would say, hey, you know, our doctors are wanting to purchase this new equipment. We need you to pull together, you know, this presentation to present to the board to see if they will buy into purchasing it or not. And so I was like, absolutely. You know, so I get up there and I do my thing. Mm. And it was amazing. And I loved it. And I had so much fun. And my colleagues would look at me and go, how the heck do you do that? Like, how are you getting up there in front of the board and you're so calm and you present so well? Like, aren't you scared? And I just kept hearing that over and over again. And I finally realized, I was like, oh, like, yeah, I'm nervous, but not scared.
Mm.
Right? I loved being in front of the room. I loved being able to share the research, whatever they needed to hear for them to make up their mind. They would have me do training for some of the staff. And I just excelled. I loved it. And so hindsight, so when I kept getting that feedback, I woke up and I said, oh, wait a minute. I love to speak.
Mm.
I love to engage with people. So why don't we start there? And that was why I kind of took that route first to do the motivational speaking, was because I'm like, well, that's what I'm good at. That's what I can do. So, yeah.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. I mean, it's always fascinating, you know, talking to people who've made that transition. There's always something that there's been a through line for everyone, you know, and for you, it was, you know, being able to get up in front of people and do, well, public speaking. And, but not only that, but just like, just being able to inform, you know, just like everything that you're doing now, teaching, guiding people, yeah. And then doing these, the videos, because, you know, Facebook Live wasn't a thing until a couple years ago. So,
right. And yep.
It's interesting because I didn't hear anything like, yeah, you were nervous and there's that jittery feeling, but it didn't do anything to your confidence. So it sounds like you've always just been really confident about yourself and your abilities.
I wouldn't say that. I think for a long time, So I remember I used to, before I was in healthcare, I was in real estate. And I remember one of my mentors telling me, she was like, I was in my early 20s. You know, I just finished like my undergraduate degree. And I was like, you know, this little new 20 something out in the world. And she says to me, she's like, you got to fake it until you make it. And I was like, no, I have a different thought about that today. But back then I was like, all right, well, I'm going to fake it till I make it. I'm going to look the part. I'm going to sound like I need to sound. I'm going to do the thing. But what I've realized fast forward to working in healthcare is I was still doing the same thing, right? Like you would see me and sure, hair was together, nails were on point, clothes were on point. Like right. You would see me and think, oh my gosh, she has her stuff together. But what was happening is I was deteriorating on the inside because I had lost sight of my worthiness. I had lost sight of, you know, what I was really good at. I felt really unseen, unheard. I wasn't recognizing my own successes. Like everything was just like the inside wasn't there at all. So I think that that was a catalyst, like being in front of the board of directors and speaking to them and sharing from that space. I knew enough at that point. I was like, Kendra, when you go in front of this board of men, right? Where all of them were men, you've got to go in there and you cannot let them see you sweat. You've got to go in there and hold it together. And so I would just embody that and walk into that space. And I would hold that on and hold that in all the whole time that I was there. And then when I come home, it was like, oh my God. It's like I could take the mask off. And so it was almost like looking back at it, I'm like, okay, I wasn't really being my truest, fullest self. Right. Sure. Me speaking and showing up, like that was a part of my genius. Absolutely. But what was happening inside wasn't matching the outside. Right.
Right.
So what I was telling myself, and that was one of my wake up calls. I remember being in my closet one morning because I started doing my morning manifestation routine. And I remember
in your closet at work.
No, my closet at home.
Oh, okay.
That would be weird.
No, that's, well, I mean, maybe that's just like the only place you could.
Right. But no, I would go in my closet in the mornings, and because I realized that the way that I was thinking about myself wasn't matching with how I was showing up in the world. And so it was through that that I recognized that I was allowing the world to be in control of my mind, and I wasn't stepping into that power myself. And it started then with just me, you know, reading some affirmations, writing in my journal, meditating, prayer, all that good stuff to help cultivate the inside. Because I was just dealing with what was given to me.
Right. Yeah.
Speaking up, I was just like, okay, this is what you want me to do. All right. Yeah, sure. Right. People pleasing.
I'm just going to take a stab and you just jump in. So going into real estate and then going to healthcare, this was a track that you were on and it wasn't fulfilling. Is that why the confidence you felt like your self-worth wasn't there? Your self-esteem wasn't there. Is that part of it or?
That's part of it. I would say real estate felt a little more fulfilling because I was able to, I did what I needed to do. I sold houses. Someone was there looking at me, and so, of course, the real estate market went south in 2008. And I was like, all right, I've got to get out of this. I cannot sustain this. And then when I moved to where I am now, healthcare was a big thing. And so I thought logically, okay, well, I'll go back to school and get my master's in healthcare.
Oh,
I'll do. Because that's all I knew.
Right. Right. Yeah.
I knew that I wanted to be my own boss. I had no idea what that would look like. And so I was just following what I knew at the time.
Right.
And so when I got into that space, I could tell that I wasn't being valued. I saw it. I wasn't being valued. there was a lot of mind games. There was, you know, marginalizing. It was just things that were not, I knew that my worthiness was not being upheld in that space. But I didn't have the confidence to step up and say, no, this is not happening. Because no, I need this job, right? Like I look back and I think about, there are so many people in this world that hang on to jobs that they're not happy with because they're afraid to take that step because they don't know what could be next. And so then they choose to stay in this space that they're not happy with, that feels safe, but is not fulfilling.
Right.
Yeah. So that was for a long time until they said, no, this isn't working. And so that's where I feel like the universe came in and said, I know what your heart wants. You've been asking for this. So let me help you out. Didn't have a choice.
So this is, I had interviewed somebody else about human design as well. And so can you explain, because just some of the things that you've been saying, you felt unseen. Yeah. You didn't feel like you were being recognized. Did you say you didn't feel like you had a voice? Is that something?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so what, because that kind of has something to do with your type, which I know, but you can explain that. So what is human design coaching?
Yeah.
What is human design?
So human design is, it's this beautiful system that is a synthesis of other systems, right? It's a synthesis of astrology, the Hindu Kabbalah, the I Ching, quantum physics. And to put it in simple terms, the way I like to think of it is like a map of your soul, right? It is a map of your soul. You hear people say, you know, well, when you have kids, they don't come into this world with a manual, right? They don't come with an instruction book. But your human design is kind of your instruction book, right? It's how you are designed to show up in the world, how your energy is meant to interact with the rest of the world, how you best make decisions, right? And it's a tool, right, to help people really see themselves. And a lot of it is not, they're not things we don't already know. Because when I do readings, you know, I'll do these readings and people go, oh my gosh, yes, I've known that. But for whatever reason, they didn't trust that knowing. Mm. And so human design is that way to kind of help, you know, what's the word, confirm to people that, yes, what you were feeling is correct, right? That knowing that you had is correct. And so, and it's a system that breaks down your energy into five different types. Right. So there's five different types of energy types. And so there's the manifester, the generator, the manifesting generator, the projector, and the reflector.
And which one are you?
I am a projector. I am a projector. So, yeah. And knowing human design now, I can look back even on that series that I shared with you earlier. And
yeah.
I clearly see where the mishap was, but that was part of my journey though. That was part of what I needed to go through to get here.
You know, it's one thing going through life, but it's another thing was what I wanted to say was that it just sounded like a toxic environment.
Yes.
You know, hospitals being a toxic place where people are, you know, healing. So, and all the stress and the pressure and, you know, you're dealing with people's lives. And it's no joke. And yeah, I can see how that could be, you wouldn't think that, right? Cause you're just like, oh, hospitals are, you know, where you go, people help you to feel better. And, no, it can be really a toxic work environment all around. So that's human design. And then what is human design coaching?
So human design coaching, the way that I use it is I kind of lay human design over business coaching. Mm-hmm. And so I'm an intuitive business coach. And so what I do with human design is with my clients, I'll pull their human design chart. And so the first step is just going into a deep dive reading with them, letting them understand, you know, how they are designed to show up in the world, how they're designed to show up in their business, you know, how they're designed to communicate, what their messaging could be about. And I use human design kind of as the portal to help them create alignment within themselves, but also to align with their business in a way that is right for them, right? Because one of the things that I've noticed in my own experience is that the majority of the world are generators and manifesting generators. They're like 70%. Of the population. So most of the coaching out there today is driven towards them.
Right.
And that's okay. I'm like, all right, that's fine.
Yeah.
But then what I noticed is too, is that not everyone, just like students in a classroom don't learn the same way. Business owners are not meant to build their businesses in the same exact way. And so I started seeing like all of these formulas and strategies and step-by-step which are wonderful, right? They cater to that logical mind.
Right.
But there's a population of us who are just like, no, that doesn't feel right.
Or it doesn't work. You try to implement and it doesn't,
yeah.
It doesn't work for you.
Exactly. And then people start feeling like something's wrong with them. Mm-hmm. Or cut out to be a business owner. Right. Me too, girl. Me too. I'm like, maybe this is not for me. I'd love to be able to do this because people can then begin to see their genius and recognize themselves and understand that they get to do business in a way that feels good for them and to trust the way that their higher self is guiding them to mm-hmm. do business. Right.
So. Right. Yeah. So just using yourself as an example, just from going through your video history on Facebook a lot. Yeah. It's great. I was like, wow, for a projector, because I am one too. I was like, wow, that's a lot. And, you know, I see a lot in your messaging about, you know, you have to be okay with being seen. And I was just laughing to myself, like, yeah, you have to kind of, and that has been the hardest thing for me. And, you know, doing this podcast really helps with that. But
yeah, it does.
So when I looked at the history of your Facebook Live videos, and, you know, I mean, like you said, you know, business goes through a lot of iterations. And I think as an entrepreneur, especially in the service-based industry, which is what we are in, you know, it's going to evolve as you grow. You know, you're just going to try different things and be innovative because you have to do what works, what you feel you're aligned with, what works for you. And so what I'm trying to ask, I'm trying to say is that, you know, you following your intuition, you know, you were starting with, at least with the videos, you were starting with mindset, which is something that you still do, I'm sure. And then following your intuition along, and then somehow you got into human design and then was like, okay, I got to study this. So like you are a good, a great example of what you're talking about, of what we're all talking about, when we go into this healing work. And so how did you stumble upon human design? How did that, and what was the revelation?
Yeah. So good. I was invited into human design. And that is, as a projector, right? Like, that is our strategy, right? It's to wait for the invitation. And so prior to that, I was very much operating like a manifesting generator and a generator, which is why you will see, like, I have hundreds of videos, right? Because it was just that, okay, I've got to show up. I've got to hustle. I've got to do the 30-day Facebook Live challenge. I've got to do this 5-day challenge. I've got to do all the things. So I stumbled up on human design probably for the first time in around 2018. And I pulled my chart and I was just like, okay.
Yeah, it doesn't mean, what does that mean?
Right. I was like, I don't know what this means. I had no internal pull to even want to know what it was. But then what happened last year in 2019, my accountability partner, we were talking and she said, hey, Kendra, she's like, have you heard about human design? I was like, I don't know what that is. And so she sends me the link and I look at it and I was like, oh yeah, I'm like, I know, I've seen that before, mm-hmm. you know, I'm going to push it aside. Well, she brings it up to me again and then brings it up again. About a third time, I was like, okay, clearly there's something I need to pay attention to.
What's your accountability partner? What's her human design? What's her?
Oh, she's a manifesting generator. Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Right. So the prod. Okay. That makes sense. Mm-hmm.
She's like, you need to look at this. So I said, okay. So finally I sat down and I looked at the chart and then I just, of course, went down rabbit holes like we do as projectors. I was like, oh my gosh, what is this? But when I recognized what my strategy was of waiting for the invitation, and when I recognized my not self, right, which our not self is what we fall into when we're out of alignment. Mm-hmm. So your not self as a projector is bitterness. And I was like, wait a minute. Mm. And then I started understanding that projectors need to be seen and need to be recognized. That's what lights us up. That's what activates us. So the more I kept reading about this, every single thing I get emotional thinking about this. Every single thing that I had gone through in the past was making sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Making sense.
Me too. Yeah.
I had that internal higher self that was trying to tell me what to do. but I didn't trust it. I didn't trust it. I wasn't really recognized. I was like, whatever, this is what my head's telling me to do. I've got to do this. So I went down the rabbit hole, started, you know, really diving into my experiment with it, because human design is a big experiment, right?
Right.
And as I was doing that, I thought to myself, oh my gosh, my clients need this work. They need to know this too, because every single one of my clients would come to me and say, you know, they would be pushing, they would be forcing, they would be in their head all the time. They would have all these ideas and didn't know what to do with them. You know, all these things. And I just thought, how great would it be to show somebody something concrete? We can talk about all the esoteric things, right, that are intangible, but to right. be able to have a tangible tool to work with somebody on, to help them understand the intangible and how it applies to them. Mm-hmm. I was like, this has to happen. And so I became obsessed with it, read all the books, got certified, did all the things. and that's what I, that's the lens that I run my business through. And that's the lens that I work with my clients through, is through human design. So, yeah.
And what do you find a lot of your clients are? Are they all manifesting generators and generators?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I get a good mix of both, yeah, MGs and generators. And it's so fun to see, because I can just, and of course as projectors, we're good at that. Right?
Yeah.
Seeing the other person. And so knowing that, it's like my awareness has even kicked up a notch where I think I can see people, you know, MGs, manifesting generators and generators, and go, yeah, here's what we need to do. Here's what we get to work on. And it's just so rewarding.
And what is that? What does that, because I feel like it's just so empowering, but it also really finding out your human design, especially if you've been going in the wrong direction for so long and you're like, why isn't this working? What's wrong with me? This has to work. You keep doing it over and over. Just anything. I'm not just talking about anything in business, but like, I just felt like for me, it just really, it was just empowering, and it just gave me more confidence in my ability. Like, okay, this is why it's not working. This is why this particular thing does not work. And I've known that, but I just didn't know. I just thought it was wrong because like everyone else is like, no, this is the way it is. It's the way it works.
Yeah, exactly. And I would agree with you in that. Like, it definitely gave me a confidence boost as well. And it brought me to a closer place of also self-acceptance.
Right.
I was like, oh, okay. And it's so interesting how this works, because we know.
Yeah.
And like, I knew that there was something missing. Cause like you, I was like, but wait a minute. Like, why isn't this working? Like, I am a smart woman now. What is like, like, I know what I'm doing here. Why is this not working? Why do I feel like I have to like push and hustle and grind and do all the things to end up nowhere? I used to wonder why I couldn't sustain that pace.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of beat myself up about it, because I was like, okay, Kendra, if you want to build this business, you've got to be able to get out there and hustle and do the thing. But I couldn't sustain that momentum, right? Because we're not meant to as projectors. And so, yeah, so learning my design, it really hit home that, okay, that's why I hit burnout in healthcare. Right. When I hit rock bottom, because I was trying to build a career that was designed for somebody with sustainable energy. I don't have that. So yeah, it has made everything more clear and helped me to be more empowered in my business, helped me to understand that it's okay to do things differently in my business and to know that it gets to work this way for me.
Right. Yeah, I think that can be such a revelation, because if you're working with another business coach who is not a projector, or, you know, is telling you like this, do A plus B equals C, and you're like, okay, I'm doing A plus B equals C, or, you know, you're trying to get A and they're like, no, that's not A. I'm like, no, but this is, no, that's not A. I'm like, what? No, that's not A. No, this is A. Like, you know, okay. And now you kind of understand what A is, and you go to B. Like, no, that's not B. So, you know, it's just interesting. Like, how that, what that can do to your mindset, because it's like, whoa. And so then just going back into confidence, you know, because it is a muscle that you can build if you don't, yeah, I've talked to different psychologists and sociologists, and you know, this consensus is, and I was like, oh yeah, okay, but that you're born with confidence. Yeah, you're born exactly. with it. And then along the way, as you grow up, family, school, peers, you know, everybody just puts everything on you. Mm-hmm. They project everyone, you know, and that's how the world is. Exactly. You know, we project on each other, like what we think is right. And then we follow those rules. And for a lot of people, and it's not just for projectors, but, you know, for anyone that is going against what they feel is right for themselves, you know, you start to feel like, okay. And then it just becomes ingrained. You just, yeah. you know, go with the flow. You go with it until it becomes ingrained and comes this inside track. And then you have to build, mm-hmm. you have to unlearn and rebuild your confidence. Does your confidence ever dips? And what is your process to build that muscle back?
Yeah, I love that. I love that you're talking about this because I think so many people believe that confidence is something that you're just like, you either have it or you don't.
Right.
And it's like, no, everyone has it. Right. It's just conditioned out of us I won't say out of us, but conditioning just smothers it, so to speak.
Right.
And so yeah. So now what I'm able to do for myself when I can feel my confidence waning is, number one, when I notice that is happening, I know typically it's because I'm looking outside of myself.
Mm.
It's because I'm looking at what everyone else is doing, right? Well, what is she doing in her business? Oh, she's doing this. Oh my gosh, she wants another course. I'm falling behind. You know, it's that comparison. And so I know that's my trigger. As soon as I start, and that's kind of me stepping into the lower energy of what I'm meant to do here in this world. And when I recognize that, for me, it's about coming back to myself. So I'm off of social media, right?
Right.
Sometimes even turning off the television, and it's just me, like being in nature or exercising, meditation, journaling, reconnecting with myself and with source. But that has to happen. And what has begun to happen over time, as I've cultivated this, is my standards have raised for myself. And so now it's because I understand that I am a projector, and because I understand that our energy is focused, I understand that my attention needs to be focused. And so then now it's a matter of keeping my attention focused on what it is that I'm doing and not looking in the other person's lane. Like, well, what is she doing? What's going on over there? Keeping those blinders on. And now I'm human. So like, if I do have a moment when I happen to check out what's happening over here,
right.
Blaine, I can feel it. I feel myself questioning myself and doubting. And that's my moment to say, shut it down and go remember who you are.
Mm.
Go sit in meditation, read your affirmations, ask for guidance, and remember who you are. And that's, again, one of the reasons I love human design, because I'm able to go back and say, but yeah, like Kendra, I know, sweetheart, that you're seeing all these things that she's doing, but there's so much wisdom that you hold inside of you. And that's the lane that you're meant to stay in. You're meant to stay in this lane where you go deep, right? Where you focus on a system and you really begin to master it. That's your thing. And so it's really helped me to understand what my thing is. And then what that does is you begin to appreciate how everyone else gets to show up,
mm-hmm.
right? Human design is a science of differentiation. So we get to see and express gratitude for how different everyone is, because we're all here to play a role. And if I'm over here trying to be in her lane, then I'm not playing my role. So those are spending some time getting quiet. It's really what brings me back to reigniting that muscle of confidence.
Mm.
And learning how to, we'll say this too, learning how to step through fear. Because I think a lot of us, again, we are confident and you can do the deconditioning work, but you also then have to learn how to walk with fear.
Right.
Not letting it be in the driver's seat. Now, it can ride shotgun, right? It's going to be with you. It'll be there.
Yeah.
But you're calling the shots, you're in the driver's seat, and learning how to take a deep breath and do it anyway. Because it's not, you know, the things that we fear are not as bad as we, as our mind portrays them to be. And so learning how to work with that fear is important in allowing your confidence to shine through more.
Yeah, that's, I don't think I've ever heard it put that way. I've listened to so many and read so many different self-help books. Can't even, yeah, it's just doing a number on me. So I'm just going to let that integrate in me. Like, yeah, it's beautiful. What you just said, it just kind of blew my mind. And I can't even remember what you said. That was so profound. I was like, wow, I've never heard it put like that away. So that's just like, whoa. So just give me a couple seconds to like,
wait. Let me get my bearings.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I mean, I've just really never heard it put that way. Cause I was in this like women's group year, like, oh my God, like over like a decade ago. And she was like, you know, you just got to feel the fear and do it anyway. But it's like, but the fear hurts. It's scary. What do you mean do it anyway? So I know you just said, you know, and I'm like, you've just blown my mind. And but it's just like, yeah, when you just walk us through
that, you know,
just stepping into the fear, letting it ride shotgun, like taking it out of the driver's seat.
Mm-hmm.
What's that process?
Here's what I'll say is I think first we have to understand within ourselves, within the human body, the mechanism of fear and what it's designed to do, right? So, and it's funny because in human design, we go deep into this too, but there's places, of course, in your body graph in human design where fear lives. But the thing is that, I'm gonna go down a rabbit hole.
Yeah, go for it.
The thing is with fear is that it's a very primal instinct. Very primal instinct. And so the thing is, it's like 10,000 years ago or however many years ago, right, we needed that primal fear to keep us safe from the lion roaming around who could kill us, right? Today, we don't have that danger, right? The danger that we have is, what if someone criticizes me? What if someone looks at me weird? What if someone judges me, right? And so, but our primal fear doesn't know that. So deep down in our subconscious, when we feel fear, it literally feels like our life is at stake.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And nobody's going to want to take a step when you are feeling deep in your body that your life is at stake. But when you can understand the mechanism of fear and that it's a primal instinct and that what you're stepping into is not something that's going to kill you. Literally, I know that sounds like so dramatic. When you can recognize that, okay, I can do this Facebook Live because I'm not going to die. I'm not going to, right? When you can kind of get that in the mind, and then one of the things that I tell my clients to do, I'm like, okay, when you feel the fear is going to be there, take a deep breath and move forward.
Mm.
Take a deep breath and move forward. Create the pause before you move forward. Because if you try to stay mangled fighting with the fear and move forward, that's going to be really hard to do. But when you can pause with the fear, recognize it, take a deep breath to relax yourself, and then immediately take the action, the fear dissipates. It goes away.
Mm-hmm.
And so the second piece of this too is that fear and intuition are here and they're in the same center in your body graph, fear and intuition. So we will sometimes, when we're not in alignment, we act from a space of fear. We do things from a space of fear instead of our intuition. Your intuition is very quiet. It's a whisper. It's not going to be loud. Fear is loud, right? Fear is loud. It's all up in your head. It's all like, no, I can't do this. So when you can learn to face the fear and look at it and say, what is this fear exactly? Well, I'm afraid that I don't know enough. Maybe that's the thing. I'm afraid I don't know enough. And then you can look at that and prepare yourself,
mm-hmm.
right? To know the things. Then the fear doesn't, you know, it doesn't mean so much anymore. It's like, okay, it's there, but you know what? I know that I've studied and I know. And you trust at that point when you can quiet that fear, then you can begin to hear your intuition kick in. It's like, yes, you do know. Go out there and do it, right? Go say this, go do this, go put this out there. And the more you do that, you begin to recognize the more you do that, you begin to recognize that nothing bad's going to happen to you. And that if somebody does criticize you or if somebody does judge you, you can handle it.
Right. Yeah.
Right. So fear is just this thing. I'm really fascinated with it, to be honest with you, because it holds so many of us back.
Yeah.
And it's held me back for so long. So I totally, like, I get it. But we can play with it and we can dance with it instead of allowing it to be at the forefront of everything that we do.
Right, and keep you stuck. Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, it's interesting because when you, when you're saying about how fear creates a lot of noise, it it literally does create a lot of noise because it just floods your body with your heartbreak, your heartbeat goes up, you're with hormones, you know, the cortisone starts to flow, like, you know, it just, like, so your body is going through this physiological thing, right? It's doing its thing, like, okay, it's fear, we gotta, you know, fight or flight, you know. And yeah, it's fascinating. I remember, so I live in a very, there's a huge national forest behind me, literally behind me. Yeah, the Los Padres National Forest. It's a great place to go hiking. And it had, so all that had burned about 3 years ago, actually this week, in the Thomas Fire. So it had been like 6 months, and my partner and I, we went out to go hiking because he had never been back there. He just had moved to the area. And we went hiking. And so there are, thing about hiking back here, I especially in this area, it's called Matilaha. I don't know how people go by themselves because I'm scared. There are bears and mountain lions back there. Okay. And bobcats, but still, like, you know, it's bigger than a house cat. Like, it's still gonna, you know, could do something to you. It's got more knives than you do. And so I don't go hiking by myself. I mean, that's just a great rule of thumb in general, is to go with somebody. You know, there's humans and then there's animals, and big animals that can harm you and maim you. And so we were hiking and it was so funny. I had my hat over my head because it was kind of windy. So, so it wouldn't fly off. So I didn't quite hear, but I felt this mountain lion. We couldn't see it because it was behind this low ridge.
Oh my gosh.
I could just feel it. In my, you know, I just felt this like a shudder, right? Like, you know, I don't know, like when elephants shut, you know, like they shake their heads and you can hear the flap. Mm-hmm. And I heard that, and he was like, did you hear that? And I was like, well, no, I didn't hear that, because I guess he heard it. It made a noise. I don't know if it was a roar, or a grumble, or it growled. I guess it was a growl. And I always use that as a good excuse because, I mean, we were scared shitless. We were like, shit, we don't have anything. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know, we weren't to our destination. It's like, yeah, it's just 20 minutes. You know, and I'm like talking like, yeah, we can still, you know, we can go if you want. But my body, it was so funny. My body was automatically walking backwards, because that's one thing you don't do, is you don't turn your back on an animal, on a, exactly. You know, a predator. Uh-huh. You walk backwards slowly. And my body was just doing, I was just walking backwards, and the shit coming out of my mouth was like, yeah, you think you want to, yeah, we can just keep going because it's not that far and there's water there. So I'm just saying all that to say, because, you know, the fire, you know, there weren't, you know, I don't know where those animals went. A lot of them perished, probably. Right. And so there's probably so few of them. And I don't know. It just was like, not today. You guys aren't passing here. We're like, okay, well, let's just walk back. And he's like picking up rocks. And, you know, we're just walking backwards and looking, you know, trying to just until we couldn't see it, but it could clearly see us. I
see y'all, right?
Yeah.
Y'all were there.
Yeah. And so those are real dangers. But then it, like, the thought of like, well, if I put this out on social media, on a flyer, in an email, how is that going to be received? And I guess the other part of that is not just, I'm going on this very long tangent, I know. But you know, the fear of, being faced with a predator animal, and then the fear of, you know, being seen, in your business and the work that you want to do in the world, and that how that kind of can get be the same. And it's like, it's like I always tell myself, like, it's not going to kill you. Like, what is?
Yes.
Yeah.
But you're absolutely right. But your body responds the same way.
Right.
It's in the body. You know what I mean? And I think that it's so interesting. A lot of us are designed to, or not, I won't say designed, we're conditioned to think we need to process up here in the mind. Right. But it's in our bodies. Our bodies is what really tells us, lets us know what is right and what's not right. Like, for example, when I worked in healthcare, and I remember I just graduated and got my master's degree, and I started putting out resumes, and they called me. I applied for this job, and I knew, I was like, I don't have experience. I wanted someone with experience. I wanted all these things. I didn't have any of that. But I was just like, you know what? I'm going to apply for it anyway. Why not?
Right.
Well, they called me, and I go in for the interview. Out of seven people, they were like, you are the best candidate. And I'm thinking, really? Okay. Right. I'm like, okay. But here's what happened. I had a literal breakdown like about a week before I was supposed to start. I was sitting in the kitchen in fetal position in a chair, crying my eyeballs out to me because I was like, I can't do this. What am I doing? Like, I was scared out of my mind. And I was thinking it was because a part of it was me feeling like I wasn't good enough. I can't do this. But my body was trying to tell me, this is not for you. This is not about you need to go down. But I wasn't aware enough at that time to really tune into that. And so now it's like, all right, yeah, I listen to my body. I pay attention to what it's saying to me because the body has so much wisdom that's within it. And a lot of the times we're just disconnected from it.
Right. Yeah. And then, yeah, just to add to that is because what if you don't know how to listen to your body, there's questions you can ask. Like, am I going to die? Or, you know, do we need to go to the hospital? Who's especially if you're really sensitive, like, well, whose fear is this?
Yes.
Is this mine?
Yes. Yep.
Is this so-and-so? You know, just asking yourself... I think, you know, that's the other thing about when somebody had said that to me, like, just feel the fear and do it anyway. I'm like, well, you know, I'm like, why is that? I don't want to feel this fear anymore. I want to get rid of it so I can do it. So I think, yeah, part of it, yeah, of course, breathing, but then also, yeah, asking, like, what is breaking down that fear? Like, well, what are you afraid of?
Exactly.
No one's going to respond. Yeah. Like, no one's going to respond to me. That's what I was getting at. It's like, you know, you send out an email because, you know, I have a friend, I have a few friends, you know, we send out emails, no one responds. And it's like, well, shit, how am I supposed to do this? Why am I not communicating and not taking that personally? Like that, yeah, no one's going to respond sometimes. That's just how it works. And then to not stop yourself from sending out another email about something else.
Exactly. Like, we're not... It is, but one of my mentors said something to me that really stuck with me. She was like, your job is not here to notice who's noticing you, right? She's like, you're not here to notice, like, you're not here to post a video and then say, oh, okay, who noticed it? Did someone notice it? Did they see it? Did they look at it? No, like, that's just an energy leak. We're just leaking energy outside of because we're looking for that acknowledgement. We're looking for that acceptance. But when we can accept ourselves and recognize ourselves, then that becomes kind of void. It's like, well, if you recognize me, fantastic. That's amazing. Let's do this. If you don't, I'm still going to be okay. Right. And I love what you said about breaking down the fear and literally speaking to your body.
Yes.
Right. Like, speak to what I tell my clients that I'm like, put your hands on your chest and on your stomach and just ask yourself, are these my emotions? Is this my fear? What do you need right now? Right? Like, what are you trying to tell me? And what this requires of us, though, too, is a slow down.
Exactly. Yeah.
Slow down. And again, that can be very hard because we're conditioned to go, hustle, do.
Yeah.
Right?
Go, go, go. But, yeah.
Right. So to slow down feels very counterintuitive to where you think you want to be. It's like, well, I need to get to point B. I don't have time to slow down. But would you rather expend energy, you know, not getting to point B and being frustrated and angry or bitter, Or would you rather kind of step back and slow down a little bit, check in with yourself and get to point B from a place that feels in alignment, from a place that feels a little bit easier and against, you know, and not resistant?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just thinking about what you had posted about, you know, it's not about the strategy. It's about, you know, how you feel about something and that's preventing you from executing the strategy, you know, because for some people, yeah, I just need to know what to do, you know, and that can work. And then when that doesn't work, it's like, okay, why doesn't that work? So the next thing you do is you start blaming yourself. And that's what I just love what you were saying. I was like, yep. You know, you were definitely speaking
yep.
to me. But yeah, I think just, you know, having this conversation about, you know, instead of just using the old saying, feel the fear and do it anyway.
I just want to pause here and clear something up. What I was referring to a minute before when I was telling Kendra about a person that said to me, feel the fear and do it anyway. That's what I meant by that wasn't helpful.
Just breaking it down because that's, I'm like, that doesn't really help me. I just found that so unhelpful. And so, you know, that's the whole reason of doing this is like kind of breaking some of the shit down. Like, what is confidence? You know, how did each person go through their own experience? And there has been so many similarities. Mm-hmm. But everyone's, you know, we're all individuals, so we all have our different nuances. But I just loved, you know, hearing you talk about the different ways of handling fear, because I think doing this type of work, transitioning from a corporate, you know, somewhere where you walk into work, here's the stuff that you got to do, to transition to being an entrepreneur where you got to go find mm-hmm. people to exchange the work that you want to do that fills you up with the things that will, you know, pay for the roof of your head, pay for your child's education, buy food, you know, buy some nice earrings or whatever, you know, that's where, you know, the leap of faith comes in, right? And then, you know, just knowing, just having some sort of tools in your tool belt to give you the confidence to take that step, because that first step can be a doozy.
Yeah, it can be a doozy, but there's so much that opens up though when you take that step.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And that's what I've learned. It's like, man, this feels really scary to take, but I know once I take this step, I'm about to step into something amazing and magical, and it's going to change me and it's going to shift me. And so it takes courage. Mm. As well, right? It's yeah. like it really takes courage to stand up and take the step that you know is going to help you, even though you may not understand like how exactly it's going to play out or how what it's going to look like. You do it, right? Trusting yourself, tapping into that courage, and knowing that no matter what, you're going to move through it. Mm. You know, one of the things I used to look back on is, you know, when I was in my early 20s and I was struggling and was in real estate, and you didn't make money in real estate, of course, unless you sold a house, right? So there'd be some months where I was thinking, okay, how am I going to pay rent? How is this going to happen? Like, I look back and I'm like, you know, but I made it through that time. Somehow, I don't know how, but somehow I always had the money to take care of the rent, to pay the car note, pay the student loans, all that stuff. And so I think too, if we can look back at where we've been and how we've moved through it, now that you've moved through it, you can look back and recognize, oh my gosh, I did it. I did make it through that. It didn't feel good. It was hard, but I made it. That in and of itself can really be kind of a confidence boost too, to know that you can go through hard times and still make it out.
Yes. Yes.
You can be a better person for it.
Right. Right. I think you were saying too, in one of your very older videos, was like to journal any negatives that come up, but also to like you were saying, you can journal that too.
I just want to pause the episode right here to add another clarification. So what I was referring to is what Kendra had previously said about journaling on what you overcame and listing those as accomplishments to help you build confidence and courage. Okay, let's get back into the episode. I'll unpause.
Yes.
Writing that out.
Journaling is so transformative.
Yeah.
Like, that is one of those tools that I will always use as a journal because it gets you out of your head.
And then when sometimes you see this stuff, I was like, oh my God, that's when I was in my head. Come on.
Mm-hmm. Go back and read it. I tell my clients that too, though. I'm like, hey, if you keep journals, go back and read them, because when you're on the journey, we sometimes forget how much we've grown because we're the ones doing it. But when you go back and read something you wrote a year ago or two years ago, and you can see it, it's like staring you in the face. It's like, oh, you can't deny that.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes I like to burn, you know, especially if it's like super negative, I just like to write it and just burn it. So I'm like, I don't want that anymore. This is gone. I don't want this in my head. I don't want it in my cells. I just want it out. And then conversely, you know, writing out how you got through something, that you did get through something. What was the hardest thing that you did and how did you get through it?
Yeah.
You know, and seeing that, because it sets a precedence in your body that you can access.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So any parting words of wisdom about confidence to our listeners, whether they're in a business or just confidence in general?
Number one, I just want to reiterate, like we said earlier, and you brought this up, is that the confident person that you see yourself being is already in there.
Mm.
It's already in there. Another thing that I'll speak to confidence as well is that one of the things to help build confidence is action, right? So yes, sitting down and journaling, writing out the vision of yourself that you desire to become, writing out affirmations, like all those good things, those are wonderful. But then what helps to solidify this person you're stepping into is actually taking the action, right? Putting yourself out there and doing that. And then third, when you're working with confidence, it's also important too to work with the fear, right? So that the confidence can become more more prevalent than the fear does. So the confidence can take over more than the fear does. You learn it. You learn it. You cultivate it. You get to do it. I think it's having the intention about wanting to be a confident person will then help you figure out, okay, what's going to be right for me in order to do that, right? Mm-hmm. What's the right steps for me to take to do that? And of course, human design, right? Yeah. Like human design is a great tool as well to help you go through that deconditioning process, to get rid of the layers that are covering up, you know, your intuition and your confidence, to help you re-remember who you are.
Yeah. And that's a great segue, because I think you have some spots open in your program, right?
I do readings. I do human design readings. And so I do open spots, a few spots up for that every single month. And again, that's just, you know, it's a deep dive into your chart, to who you are, your type, your strategy, your authority, what you're here, what your purpose is here, what you're here to learn. So much goes into this. So yes, I do have that. And then of course, my current promotion right now is my private sacred container called Soul Aligned, which is a private one-to-one coaching where we of course go into human design too, but get to work a bit deeper in the integration and embodiment of your design to help you show up in business.
Right. Okay. Excellent. Excellent. I'm going to have all this in the show notes, but yeah. So the best way to contact her about
Soul Aligned or human design readings,
her email is kendra@kendrakwoods.com. And you can visit her website as well, kendrakwoods.com. She's on Instagram, Soulful Success by Design, and on Facebook, Soulful Success by Design as well. So those are all the four ways to get a hold of and learn more about Kendra if you haven't already learned so much from this episode. So thank you. Gosh, thank you so much. That was so...
Thank you.
Oh, I just learned so much. Thank you so much for being here, sharing your wisdom and all of who you are. Let's give you a big hug goodbye. Thank you, Kendra.
Thank you so much. This was great. This was really great.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for joining us today for this episode, and we will see you next time. Bye.
Yes. Bye.
Want to know more about how to contact my guest? Then go to theconfidenthealer.net. This is also the best place to listen to the podcast. And while you're there, click subscribe to rate the show. Let's get those algorithms working to get this podcast to the masses. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.